with our text, Joshua chapter 7. I was reminding myself a few moments ago of the Bible-given purpose of church, and especially my job. If you want to call it a job, it's a calling. Ephesians 4, he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Here's the reason. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man of the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Interesting thing there, you'll never find in these verses where the responsibility is of a church service to win the lost. Isn't that interesting? And so many times we think that's what the whole purpose is, but really the purpose is to equip the saints to go win the lost. Because most of the time, lost don't come here. We got to go there. That's why the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so in our day-to-day lives, we have a tremendous opportunity and responsibility. Your workplace. You say, well, I can't preach in my work. I think the First Amendment's still in place. And I'll tell you what. We can be discreet. We can be sensible. We can use our heads. But we can also be willing to lose our jobs if it means reaching somebody for Christ. People have lost a whole lot more than that I might have my salvation. But we have a tremendous opportunity. Have you ever thought about where you work at as a mission field? If you have some saved people that you work with, you praise God for that. You're thankful for that because you have somebody you can fellowship with. And many of you have that, but many of you in this room, you don't have that. And there's nobody, but there can be somebody. And what a privilege, what a blessing is ours that we can do that. I'll talk about him this morning. I think he's down south for about a month. Larry was won to Christ through a co-worker. And is normally in church every week. And what a blessing. We have that experience. You can have that experience. It's there. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about all kinds of things. Hey, if Muslims can get on their rug and pray five times a day on the job, you certainly ought to be able to say something. Amen? You have that opportunity. But you can be discreet. And by the way, don't you dare preach the gospel and not do your job. Don't you dare do that. Don't make your fellow worker take your job so you can preach to him. He'll resent you. And he ought to. So you need to be real about it. Well, anyways, that was sermon number one. Let's look at Joshua chapter number 7 this morning. Joshua chapter number 7. Begin says, then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Marah. I'm in the wrong place. That's Judges 7. I'm sorry. We sang the song, A Sinner Saved by Grace. I like doing weddings of our folks who come up through our church. It's a joy. But I make a mistake in every wedding. Did I make a mistake in yours? You didn't mean that part when he said, I do. What'd you do wrong?
I can't even remember.
That was what you did wrong. You couldn't remember when I was given the vows. I always goof up something. Amen? By the way, as God's people, you know, if we can't laugh at ourselves once in a while, you got too much pride. Now, I guarantee you something. I can have roaring fits of what I do sometimes. Joshua, chapter number 7. You know, by the way, there was a good part to that. Some of you, you knew I was in the wrong place. Some of you weren't paying attention. You didn't know anything was going on. And I just found who they all were. All right, Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. By the way, if you read the Bible aloud to people and you don't know how to pronounce the names, just do your best. They won't know any different. I don't know if it's Carmi or Carmi. I don't know if it's Zabdi or Zabdi. You know what I'm saying? I think my name is Gene, not Genie. Or Guinea. But God's word's precious. Here's the neat thing with the names. Though we cannot pronounce them, there are literally hundreds of them there. And when God says He has your name written down in the book of life, and you see all these names, count on it. Amen? Verse 2, And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Remember what happened at Jericho? That's in the preceding chapters. And at Jericho, what they do, they marched around the city, and the walls fell down, and they destroyed the city, just as God had told them He would have them do. And now they're looking at this and saying, This is just a little spot. This is just a little town, okay? And so we don't need to all go up there, okay? So there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. By the way, remember, God said everything in Jericho was to be given to him. Everything. That which wasn't burnt by fire was to be given to God. It was the first fruits of what they were going to receive in the land of Canaan. Okay? And so when somebody took it, they took what belonged to God. Okay? Just a little reminder here. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. It's not even yours. And to withhold it is, according to Malachi, to steal from God. Interesting stuff. In the morning, therefore, verse 14, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take come by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Now, hold your spot there. I want you to just go back and notice. I tried to emphasize it a little bit. But verse number 11, what does it say? Israel hath sinned. Do you remember it saying that? Yeah. And it says, they have taken of the accursed thing. But now God says that it's what? One person. So Joshua rose up early, verse 16, in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the spoils of goodly Babylonian garments, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua sent messengers, they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask you to bless, speak to our hearts from it, teach us. Lord, may we endure your truth. May we allow it to come into our lives and order us and direct us. Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. It's a tremendous time in the nation of Israel. We find that they had been brought by God out of Egypt. They had crossed over the Red Sea. They had spent nearly 2 years as God prepared them, and as God had taken them to the mountain and there gave them the Ten Commandments and then brought them to Kadesh Barnea. At Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent in the 12 spies to spy out the land that they might get an idea of how it lay and so forth. But when they came back, 10 of them said, there's giants in the land. And they are more than us. They would be able to take care of us. And we're scared for our children. Two of them said, listen, with God we can take it. And those two were who? Joshua and Caleb. Well, the multitude of the people, they believed the others, and thus they didn't go. We find that God says, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Because you would not believe me. You would not follow after me. And at Kadesh Barnea, you said, hey, we even think about going back to Egypt. He said, I'm going to let you wander for the next 38 years. Thus, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And during those years, all of the males, I should say all the people who were 20 years of age and upward died. The wilderness was literally strewn with graves. And as those young people that were used as an excuse not to go into the promised land grew up, they became the leaders. And when Moses goes off the scene, he places Joshua in charge, and Joshua leads them across the Jordan River at an unusual time. He takes them across during the flood stage. And as they cross that river and the waters back up and they come across to the other side, and we read the wondrous stories there as we come into the book of Joshua, how they picked up the stones from the middle of the river and built an altar on the other side and as a memorial to what God had done, we find that then, as they stop and rest a little bit, God says, I want you to circumcise all the male children. For those 38 years, that process had not taken place. And now, as they're in the land, as they're amongst these who are enemies, as they're here in this place that 38 years before they said, we can't take this because there's large armies and they have chariots of iron. Now God says, I want you to circumcise all the males. And basically, you're going to be inoperable as an army for about 5 to 7 days as you heal. Isn't that amazing? Why didn't God do that on the other side? You see, sometimes God wants us just to believe Him when the circumstances seem all against us. And then God says to them, I want you to go to this first city of Jericho. And He says, this is what I want you to do. He says, I'm going to do a fantastic thing for you. I want you for 6 days to march around the city one time. And He says, then on the seventh day, He says, I want you to march around the city not one time, but 7 times. Now, the city of Ai that we read about in chapter 7 had 3,000 people. Now, some in this room, if you walked around a city that had 3,000 people, you would be gasping. But they walked around it one time. For some of you, that'd be no trick whatsoever. For those muscular kind of folks, why, that's no problem whatever. But on that seventh day, God says, I want you to do it 7 times. Now, why in the world, when you're going to go into battle, do you want to wear your troops out before you start the battle? Again, God wants to show them something, and that is, He is the one in control. And so after 7 times, what do? They blow the trumpet and they shout and the walls fall down. Now the walls did not fall inwardly. Excavation has showed us that the walls fell outwardly. And I guarantee you, they didn't push them out from the inside. They were quivering on the inside. And God exploded those walls, and the Israelites went up over those stones and into the city, and they took the city. Now, God was using Israel to bring judgment against some very wicked people. And thus He said, I want you to slay all of them. But the spoil of this first city, it belongs to me. God, again, was teaching them a principle. And that is, we put God first in everything. But as we look here, we find that as they're coming to this promised land. By the way, the Canaan does not represent heaven. Sometimes in songs we have that kind of a thing. It's a land of promise. And in a land of promise, warfare is going to be common. The land of promise is where victories take place and where provision is given to us by the Lord. And that's what life is really all about. So as we look at Israel as a nation, we can also see it as individuals, as God takes us into that place where there's going to be some battles, but in those battles we can have victories. By the way, if you're going to have victory in Christ, you're going to have some battles. We sing victory in Jesus, and we get excited about the song, but then we have a battle, and we moan and we groan. I watched two games the other day. I don't know if I watched all of them, but I watched two of the playoff games in football. And you have to forgive me, but I have my reasons for this. I was rooting for Ohio to beat Alabama. I have a grandson down in Alabama that thinks Alabama's football team is probably the world's greatest thing that ever happened since Cheerios. And I want him to know there was some Wheaties in the midst too, amen? And so that wasn't really the reason. And so I was rooting for Ohio to win. And what a game that was. I also watched the Ducks. What a strange name we have. Anyway, here are the Ducks out in Oregon. And I was rooting for them. Who'd they play? Florida State. Any team from Florida I like to see beat. Anyways, just my deal. And so I was rooting for them. When the playoff, those two teams meet, just let you know I'm for the Ducks. Ducks eat Buckeyes, right? Anyways, I watch those. I'm thinking to myself this. You know what makes great teams greater? Playing great teams. I've never understood college football, why the first two or three games they go out and they play Podunk High School. They play somebody they can walk all over, and it does not give them the competitive edge. You see, God is going to put you in some battles, and He's going to give you some hard ones. The victories are sweeter when they're hard. And they're going to be there. And so we have this life that is across the Jordan River, and we think, man, we must be out of the will of God because I'm experiencing these bad things and these awful things are coming upon me. No. God has you in the place of battle so you can have victories. They're there. Get used to it. And you say, well, I just got done fighting one. Hey, yeah, there's another one on the way. And this is going to be encouraging to you. It's going to be worse than the one you just had. Because if you're going to grow in your faith and you're going to grow in your victories, you're going to have bigger battles. They get harder. But what do we find out when they get harder? We got a greater God than we thought we had before. Amen? And so God allows these things to come our direction. And you and I, we have this privilege. Well, they come across and they have this thing and here's all this stuff and God wants them to give it to Him and take care of the rest of it. I mean, to burn it and so forth. And it's all for Him. And one guy, his name is Achan, we find out, he coveted. He wanted some of what he saw and he took it. Who did it belong to? It was God's. God said that you're to give it to me, it's mine. But he took it and he kept it, he hid it in his tent. By the way, it doesn't do you any good hiding in your tent. Did you know that? It doesn't help anybody. Anyway, he has it hid in his tent and we find that they go to battle and they lose the battle. 36 people die. Remember that. 36 people die because of one man. And also remember that when judgment came, it came not only upon the one man, but also upon his wife and his children. But this one guy, it is said, Israel has sinned. And what do we find? We find that as believers, we can die in the wilderness because we have decided not to go into battle because the chariots are made out of iron. And we die in the wilderness. We also find that we as believers can find our demise like these 36 did because of the sin of others. Or we can be victorious. We look at this tale of Achan. We look at this man. And listen, we can stop and we can see a couple of things here. We can see a nation that is stopped by his sin. By what he did. And you and I, we have an effect upon those round about us. It can be positive, it can be negative. But I also want us to see something else this morning, and that is, it can also be overcome. Interesting, as we can make some applications. Christians so often start out with great intentions. Some of you no doubt made some resolutions this last week. Nothing wrong with resolving. And some people say, well, I don't make resolutions because I never keep them. By the way, you will never keep what you don't resolve. One guy says, I resolve not to make any resolutions. Well, whoopee, he's going to really improve this year. But we do that. And when not just the new year, there ought to be that time, day by day, week by week. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I resolve to do that. And we start out with great intentions, only to be thwarted, oftentimes like Achan, with covetousness, or like the rest of Israel, because of the lack of discernment in their life, which will stop God's blessing. Let's look at two things from this point out. Number one, your actions have consequences on others. Your actions have consequences on others. Verse number 5, 36 men died because they were so sure of victory. All of Israel was accused of this crime. And that reveals a couple of things to me. One is how our sin never just affects ourselves. But secondly, and be very thoughtful about this point, how much we need discernment. We go back and we think about what's said in chapter number 7, and we find that what did they do? They found out this city had 3,000 people. They never besought God. They never looked to the Lord. They never sought His discernment on the whole thing. They just decided, we don't need everybody. Let's just send a few of them up there because look how great we were back here and what takes place. One of the greatest times where you and I can fall down is after we've had a victory. And we get overconfident in ourselves and don't go to God. If there's a need in the lives of God's people today, it is to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day activities. It is an absolute must. And yet so often we go about our days confident of our own abilities. Believing that we have that within us to accomplish. And what happens? We fall on our face. And what does God have to say to us? Get off your face. Get off your face. Take care of your sin. Take care of your sin. And when they did that, we read of how God gave the victory. I am firmly in the belief that had they sought God before they went to Ai, like they had before they went to Jericho and gotten His instructions, God would have revealed to Joshua or somebody there was a problem in Israel. But nobody knew. Our actions have consequences on others. And secondly, confession and judgment of our sin will bring back God's blessings. It's a miraculous thing. The Bible teaches us if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't do that, but God can. If we're willing to confess it to God, and God will forgive us because He is gracious. Tremendous privilege and opportunity we have when you and I will take that and use it in our lives. Too often we sit as we read our Bibles and God speaks to our hearts and we just let it go. And too often we sit in church service and the preaching strikes at our heart and we just let it go. And we don't confess those things to God and we just keep on going and keep on going. And we wonder why in the world we keep losing the battles. Confess it and judge it. And God's blessing comes back. Your resolutions, your resolve to do right, it will meet with problems. It will be met with difficulties. We have a real Satan. We have a real world that's out to get us. Really, I'm talking about the world system. We have the old nature that's constantly pulling us down. We have these enemies that are enemies of our soul, and they are very real. But how we handle these things is critical. How we handle it. When we make the resolve and we go straight ahead, praise God. When we make the resolve and we fail and we look and we see, I messed up here, and we come to God and we confess it, God can restore us. Praise God for that. Wow. Nate, how old are you?
14.
You got saved last year. It's last year now. What month was it, remember?
March.
March. Okay. Pray for his friend Jacob that's been coming. Two months before that, your cousin got saved. I think it was in January. He's almost a year old. He can quit sucking his thumb now because he's getting older, see, as a Christian. March, you can still do that, you know, just in case. How old are you?
14.
14 years old. How many like to be 14 again? Huh? You ought to see all these people. One person back there said, yeah, I'd like to be 14 again. The rest of these people, oh, no. Do you know why? I don't want to scare you, but you got some stuff ahead of you. Yeah. You've put your trust in Jesus Christ. And there's a world out there. I mean, there's a devil out there. And even your old nature, it is going to fight you every step of the way. You've probably made some mistakes already. And there's going to be some more of them come your way. Because I'm going to guarantee you, and something we as older folks don't realize, the devil wants these teenagers. I spoke about it in Sunday school class. There's some things we need to do and what have you. That's another deal. But listen, I'll tell you what, you've got some battles ahead. And I don't want to discourage you, but you'll probably lose some of those. What do you do? What do you do? You ask God to forgive you. You ask God to forgive you. Do you know what the nation of Israel did? They brought this. They took care of the situation. And when they took care of the situation, what took place? They went back to Ai. They won the battle. They went into other cities. They won their battles. And every time they kept their eyes on God, they won the battles. When they didn't, What happened? They didn't win their battles. They had to come back to God and confess to Him. By the way, that's what Judges is all about. Because they were constantly messing up. But when they would come back, God would give them somebody and God would take them into victory. David. Remember David. I'm not just picking on you, but this for everybody. But you're right here. So I look back, I can't see them people back there. Get old eyes, it's a bad deal. I can see you. I know what you're doing back there. Some of you ought to get off your phone, quit texting. You might hear something for a change. Oh, did I just step on some toes?
That's right.
We'll step a little harder. Here's what you do. You confess it. Okay? We don't look at it as an easy out. And, oh, I'm going to sin and I'm going to go confess it. No, that's not our attitude. That's not real confession. But when you and I, we see we've done wrong, we go to God and we ask Him to forgive us. If we confess our sins, what does the Bible say? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lindsay, you know what that means? You've done a few things wrong, I know. But you act like your daddy. He acts like his daddy. And we all, yeah, all of you act like your daddies. And the daddies are near. No, they're acting like their mamas. That might be. But when you ask God to forgive you, here's what you got to do too. You know this. You realize God has done what He said. You may not feel like it. You may feel guilt still, but belief is believing what God said. Let the feelings come when God gives them. Don't worry about those. Ask God to forgive. Believe what He said. Quit beating yourself up. That will become your worst enemy if you don't believe what God says about forgiving you. You will keep beating yourself up. How many Christians say, yeah, I know, preacher, that's exactly right. You know why they're raising their hands? They've done it, I have. Yeah. Boy, and the truth of that verse flooded my soul a few years ago. Wow. It's exciting, amen? Yeah. This stuff in the Bible is good stuff. Amen. Here's a great story. Picture of all of us. And as you and I go into this world, and we ought to be in the promised land. We ought to be in that place where we're living by the promises of God. We ought not be in the wilderness still wandering around. But as we come across that Jordan River and we've said, hey, I'm living in the promises of God, we're going to have some battles. And there's going to be some places we're going to mess up. The whole nation of Israel messed up because they did not seek after God's wisdom. One man's sin and the rest took it upon themselves to what? Be proud in their victory. And God said, hold on. And they had to deal with it all. But God gave them victory. Amen. I hope you can see that. Let it apply to your life. Father, today, work in hearts. Lord, no doubt in this room are some who are on the other side, Jordan, wandering in the wilderness and just living by the laws and by all the rules and afraid to step into the land of promise. Just believe you and to follow after you. Trying to do it themselves and what have you. God, I pray you might help them to cross that river. But Lord, we also know that in the land of promise there are so many things seek and destroy us. And we mess up. But God, help us remember that when we take care of the sin, we allow it to be judged by you and we confess it, you take us then to the path of victory again. Oh God, I pray you might work in our hearts in these things. Help us to learn from it. And oh God, as we do get your forgiveness, that we believe you. And not allow the guilt of the devil to destroy us. Work in us, guide and direct in these things. And then, Lord, we pray for any in this room who may not know you as Savior. We've not really dealt with that today, but God, we know your Holy Spirit is wondrous. And we know that you can deal with a person about their sin and their need of the Savior. And Lord, I pray that they might realize that today could be the day of salvation. This could be a new start for them. Lord, as I've been privileged to sit with people on many occasions, hear them cry out to you and ask you to forgive them and to save their hell-deserving soul, God, may you allow somebody to do that here this day as well. Bless and work in our midst, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at. This is how we work it today.